Of course, I had the doubts, but people just telling me that you're capable of this. You can do this. You know you can do this. You're so creative. And it's important to keep hearing those things. And if you don't have the support, some people don't have that. Some people don't have that supportive system. So that's the one thing that was so important, is being able to have someone to turn to, because there's going to be so many doubts.
Mama! Let's reimagine mom life together. Mama House Goals is your hub for relatable support and helpful resources that help you fuel yourself alongside motherhood. Your identity is bigger than mom, and whatever your goals are, together we're making them a reality. So often something happens in our life that brings us to a questioning of what maybe needs to change. That could be where we live, who we live with, what our job looks like, our day to day. And we start questioning, is this the way it's supposed to be for me in my life? And our guest today, Kristen Portella, is the founder of Business Plans Made Easy. But before venturing into her own business, she worked as a counselor in clinical mental health. Her life took a turn when her son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in October 2021, prompting her to reconsider her path. She navigated the challenges from her previous job, and she was really looking for more flexibility and a rewarding path in entrepreneurship, even though she never planned on finding herself there. She now specializes in assisting professional women in their entrepreneurial journey, providing expert guidance in developing comprehensive business plans. But these aren't just business plans that you print out. They're a presentation to a board or an investor. It's really more of an action plan to bring your dreams to success. Now, beyond the entrepreneurial journey, Christina and I talk about her now navigating being a grandma and having her grandchild in her home, what it has looked like to navigate the type 1 diabetic journey and 11-year-old diagnosis, what that has looked like supporting him. Now, the fear, the uncertainty, and the benefits of the entrepreneurial journey and how that has really stepped into her life. And really just the different pieces that she's been able to take through this. This is such a good story, a journey with so many good tangible takeaways that you may find yourself in. So grab a headphones, grab a snack, and we will dive in. Christina, I'm so excited to have you here. Sometimes I meet people and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to bring you on the podcast. You're doing such cool things. It's such a cool story. And you're definitely one of those people for me. And I want to just jump right in and talk about when you had this realization that you needed to switch this long-term successful career that you had in mental health and go out and do something for your own so that you could advocate and be present for your family. So take us back to not even what you did step by step, but like the first feeling, the feeling when you were like, oh man, I need to do something different.
This is so funny. Back in March 2020, when the world shut down, I actually was one of the first people with COVID. I got extremely sick. I was out of work for a good 30 days. And back then, I was actually working, doing another job before the one where I left. And during that job, I was working with people that were experiencing homelessness face to face. So I'm out there, I'm in the field, helping them find places, shelter, advocating for them with the mental hospitals. Like, I'm all over the place. And then I got knocked down with COVID. And during that time is when I started thinking, like, the thing is that I didn't think about going into entrepreneurship. Like, that was never a thought for me. But I started thinking, like, there has to be something else. So I actually was working with someone that's like a consultant for ended homelessness. So they work with the entire state. They work with the counties. And that seemed like my dream job. So I built a relationship with the CEO of it. And then I built a relationship with the other staff. And that summer, so March 2020, I went back to work in April. And by July, I left that job where it was face-to-face because I just knew, like, I couldn't put myself at risk. Like, it was really bad and I already had asthma and having COVID was not good. So I switched and I thought, you know, and I was working from home. So now instead of being face-to-face, I was more behind the scenes, which is something I love to do. I love advocating for individuals, especially when they have, you know, mental health issues or diagnosis and they need help, they need support. So it was my dream job. Until it wasn't. So I worked there for a year. And when I started thinking about, it was more so when I started thinking about where I start having an inkling of this is not actually a dream, this is a nightmare, is around, I would say, the 1 year mark. Because within the first year, it was like you were learning, but I was doing a job of 3 to 4 people. And all of us were. We were burnt out. We were working from home. So yeah, it was like, we don't encourage you to work late, but if you were to, you could get this done. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So I always been someone who was like a high achiever. Like I love to be so good at my job that I would work. I started getting burnt out after a year and it was like really bad to where I was crying every day. And this is in July of the next year. And I was like, you know what? Let me try. It was another job. This job was traveling around the U.S. and also still being able to advocate for individuals experiencing homelessness. So I would go out to different, the plan was to be able to go out to different states to sit down with their local government and be able to understand like what's going on there, like how can we help them make it better, to train them. And I remember going through the whole process and the interviews were going amazing. So by the time September rolls around, it was like a 2-month process. It was so intensive. It was interviewing multiple times, multiple people. I felt like I had it in the bag. And then I didn't. Like they literally said, you do not have this job. We went with someone else. And I was like, defeated. I felt so defeated. So this was in September. My son started having issues with his health. We did blood work. He was losing weight. The doctor was keeping an eye on it. But it was nothing, you know, formal yet. So me and my husband went out to California in October. And I remember I went out there and I did not take my work computer. I did not take any phone calls. That was the one time I literally sat there and I was like, I'm not doing any of this. Because that's the first vacation I had an entire year, because this is the thing to watch out for. They have unlimited PTO, right? You could take all the PTO you want, but then it's like you're not taking it because it's there, but who has time? And that's what happened. So in October, the beginning of October, 2 years ago, which was 2022, I went to California. When I came back, my son, he's a teenager. He was 11 years old at the time. And they don't, well, preteen, they don't like to take off their shirt in front of them all. You know, they don't want to sit there.
Yeah.
And one time he took it off and it was just like, he kept going to, in the middle of the night, he kept going to the bathroom. He's always thirsty. He was moody. These are things. My mother has type 2 diabetes. So I felt like something was up, but I wasn't sure. So after I came back from California, took him to the doctor and I said, you know, this has been a concern. So I want you to be able to like see what's going on. She did her exam. She had him do, you know, where you had to pee in a cup and the ketones came back so bad. The sugar and his urine was really bad. So she goes, you got to get him to the hospital. You got to take him now. I said, is this like an ambulance got to come or do I get to drive him? She was like, drive fast. I'll call the hospital. And I just had no idea what the heck was going on. So we get to the ER. They were amazing. Love this hospital. I still work with them. When we got there, they were like, yeah, they came in and they said they confirmed our worst fears because we knew it had to be something with diabetes, but we thought it was type 2. It was type 1 diabetes. So of course, like they come into the room, the doctor is so compassionate. She goes, his sugar is over 600 and something, and he has ketones. With ketones, what happens is that you can go into something called DKA, which can be deadly. It's like your sugar is so high. It's been so high for so long. But luckily, I got him there in time, which is so funny because, you know, the mom guilt. I felt so guilty. I was like, is there something I could have changed? Was it less sugar? Was I just let him do whatever he want? What was going on? And they told me it's not your fault. This is type 1. It could be genetic. It could be environmental. It could be stress induced. It's so many different ways. If you're meant to have it and it's probably something in it, like the antibodies and stuff was in it, then you're going to have it. So that took time. But when I was in a hospital with him, because he had to stay, thankfully, I got him there in time. So he did not have to go to the ICU. We got so lucky because that would have been terrible. So we get to the hospital. He had to stay there, I would say a week. And it was more so because it's an educational thing. So remember, I'm working at this job that I've been working from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. Not taking lunches, really. Working. When the kids come in, they see me working. So I'm in the hospital with them. And they're like, take your time. Don't worry about this. I had deadlines for stuff coming up. Don't worry about it. We'll help you out. And then they didn't. Like in 48 hours, they asked me why I didn't finish a project. I was like, they told me to take time. I've been in a hospital with my son. You know, it was just like, Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You got to get your work done. I went home with him and I broke my toe. Like, it was just that was the icing on the cake to where I was like, I cannot do this. Not one more second. I can't. I broke my toe because I was so tired. I was exhausted. I was carrying like a work tray thing, you know, the little tables you put, and I was carrying it and I dropped it on my toe. And I thought it would be something so small. No, I broke my toe, cut my toe, had to go to the hospital, and I'm at the hospital. And all I could think about was not, hey, is my son good? Like at home, he's with dad, you know, this is new. It was, oh my God, I have so much work to do. I have deadline. Like I can't do this. Like I can't be in this hospital with no service and not be able to get to work then. Hyperventilating about this. Knife in my toe, hyperventilating about the fact that I had to be at work. So this is in October, the same week, like I say, he got diagnosed. I went back to work, but it was like my heart wasn't in it. I had like, it wasn't in it. And I remember I made such, it was a mistake. Like I made an error with the job because obviously I have to do, at that point, he didn't have his pump. So I had to do injections for him. I had to work with the school. In the beginning, I had to go up to the school. The school is amazing. They have been a really good help. But there were times where his sugar would go like super high. And then it was like I had to pick him up from school. It was so much stuff going on with me having this job and having to deal with this job. And all I could think about was like, this is not going to be good long term. Like, not at all. And I ended up, I remember I wrote my boss this letter. And I resigned with no backup plan, no savings, no idea what I was going to do next. And I quit the same day. I normally wouldn't recommend that, but it was to the point where I was having panic attacks. And I had such a bad panic attack. I was sliding literally down the walls. And my husband was like, what are you doing? We can make this work. Stop. Quit. That's it. And I thought the job would sit there and try to work with me to sit down. No, they locked everything to everywhere. And they came and picked up the computer the same day. And that's when I realized, Christina, you've been working so hard for a company that you thought was going to be compassionate, that cared about you, that cared about your well-being, that cared about your family. And at the end of the day, you were just an employee where they came and they picked up their computer and they went and they hired someone. Why do I? So I was like, that was a wake up call for me.
I think you bring up such a good point there, Christina, because we do pour all this time and energy, and they say outside of our family and sometimes even more, the people we work with are getting a huge portion of our life and our time. And we have to do that, right? We have to pay bills. We have to be able to have a way that we're providing for ourselves and others. But there's definitely this line. And when you're not able to, you know, take time off for fun, but let alone an emergency, and you're having panic attacks and you're having these other situations happen in your life, and no one is even honoring that for you. There are good places to work, right? But so often we find ourselves in these situations where we're pouring our life into a place where you are just an employee. And so you said you had no plan of stepping into entrepreneurship. You didn't know how you were going to do that. There wasn't like an idea. Sometimes people have these moments where they've been thinking about an idea or they have a side hustle for a long time and then they take the leap. And yours was more like, I'm taking the leap and I'm going to figure it out. So what came next for you saying, okay, here's now what I'm going to do?
Okay. So yes. So like I said, with my whole gut feeling, and I said to my husband in December of that year, and I said, you know what, for Christmas, I want to cook it. I see people that do stuff with it. Let me see. Because I have always been a creative person. Like I've always been someone that can think outside the box. Like it worked very well in the careers I was doing working for others, but I never thought it would apply to myself. So I sat there, I got the Cricut and I learned it. One really good thing about me is that if I don't understand something, I will sit there, watch videos, binge whatever I need to until I get it. So I learned how to use the Cricut. And then I started, I was like, what do you love? I love stickers. I still love stickers. I don't do it anymore. But I started creating stickers, planners, and I went the route of the Etsy route. So back then, my business was Functional Designs by Christina. So I started making the stickers of things, and then I started researching. I don't know. I was like, starting your own business. I said to my husband, I said, I'm not going to go to school for a year because I want to decide if that's what I want to do is go back to school. So I said, I'm not going to go back to school until I decide that's exactly what I want to do. Just give me time. And then come January, February, I just started working. I just started literally setting up things, looking. I learned everything on my own because I was looking for information and it was impossible to find for me at that time. It was impossible to find stuff that was just very clear. It was just like everything was either gatekept or it was just so confusing. It was just like speaking in different in circles. And I was like, no, I need to know A, B, C, D, like how to get there.
Step by step.
So I started
plan.
That. Yes, a step-by-step plan. And that's all I wanted. Nothing fancy, nothing like confusing, just something step-by-step. So I just learned and I started my business March of 2022 is when I started the business. But like I said, it was Function of Designs. I made merch, I made shirts, and it was a self-love. And I always knew at the end of the day, whatever career I was in, it was all about women empowerment. Like I have always wanted to help other women. Like I grew up in a family full of aunts. It was just so important because I saw how hard they worked. So it was very important. But I will say in between the quitting of my job, of course I had those fears of what the heck did I just do? Am I crazy? Should I call them and beg for my job back? What am I doing? This is not me. This is not me to just get up and leave a job. Yeah. And I turned to my support system. My father is Jamaican, very strict. But I remember what he said to me because I told my stepmom, who in turn told my dad for me. And by the time he called me, he was like, if you had to quit, Christina, it's because of a reason. Like, you're the hardest working person out there. So my support system was so supportive of me leaving a job and starting my own business that helped me.
I think that's such an important point, though, because often we have these personal fears or concerns that we haven't even given the people in our circle the opportunity to give us feedback yet. And sometimes those people really aren't going to be supportive and they're not going to understand. But also sometimes we decide that before we even know, before we even find out. So I think that's a really good takeaway too, is sometimes we have to give people a shot to be supportive before we just decide they're not going to be or they're not going to understand. And I think that that it's just a perfect example of how that can show up.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said, like, sometimes we don't. And it's so true because I thought I was like, he's going to scream at me. He's going to do all this. And it was a whole different conversation. At the end of the day, I always say I'm not a people pleaser. I don't love to make other people happy. But then it's like, at that point, I realized that some of me want to make my peers proud, right? So between that time, of course, I had the doubts, but people just telling me that you're capable of this, you can do this, you know you can do this, you're so creative. And it's important to keep hearing those things. And if you don't have the support, some people don't have that. Some people don't have that support system. So that's the one thing that was so important, is being able to have someone to turn to, because there's going to be so many doubts, especially if you weren't even thinking about entrepreneurship. I was like, what am I even thinking? And I knew if I went into any other career, I could have switched careers. I could have went back to school and did public health like I wanted to. But at the end of the day, I would still have to answer to someone else. I would still have to ask for days off. And my son had a lot of appointments. He has one appointment that's every 3 months, and he had other appointments. So I knew this was going to become an issue down the line. So I didn't want to put myself in the same situation to have the same disappointment if a job is like, oh no, like you took off too many days. Yeah. So that also led somebody want to do entrepreneurship.
And I think you're touching on like three of the biggest points I've learned in my entrepreneurship journey too. And one is like self-confidence. You have to have that self-confidence in yourself to be able to take the leap and sustain the leap. And two is having a network and association to help you get through it. And that might be your online entrepreneurship friends. Like you said, online communities and groups has been a huge part of my journey as well. Not even just as a business owner, but as a mom. And that's really where Mom Has Goals started. And I'm sure you're now a part of some groups for like parents of type 1 diabetics and things like that. There's so many good groups out there and ways to connect and support. And then the third part of that is the systems and strategy, right? So the confidence and mindset, the networking community, and the systems and strategy, I feel like are the three pillars of starting a business and like how you move forward. So you've now pivoted to really help people with that third pillar, especially to be able to make sure they're set up in a right format to be successful in their business. Talk a little bit about that pivot and that aha moment where you're like, wait a second, I am meant to be an entrepreneur, but I'm actually meant to do it in this way. and here's now how I'm going to help people.
The pivot came during the time where I had to learn everything on my own. And I was like, there is literally nobody out here. And they probably is, but they weren't, in my view at that time, that is literally going step by step. So I had to learn everything myself. And I was like, there's other moms, right? That's out there in the world that's probably facing the same issues that I am, whether it's like with their kids or even their own health, right? So that's what made me want to pivot to like be able to help them understand that it's possible you don't have to work for someone else if that's not what you really want to do. Because it's a lot of fear that goes into going into your own. And it's rightfully so, like you said. But it's just that I have always, and it's not to say I didn't experience imposter syndrome, but I knew, I was like, I have the ability to do this. Like if I was able to get through school with two kids, you know, and be able to do, I worked three jobs during school because I do an internship, a regular job, and I had another part-time job. And I was doing my master's on top of my husband's job. So I was like, if I was able to do that, it's just like, sometimes you have to really just be able to go into like your arsenal of whatever it is that's going to push you to be able to get through it. So that's how I got into, you know, doing now where a lot of people think that when they go into it, that they have to be super niche now. Of course, it's going to be extremely helpful over time. But when I started, I just had to go back to my core values, which is I always wanted to empower other women. So that has always been the core of my business, is to uplift other women. Like, I love how much you can do. I love, especially mamas. Like, I broke my toe. You think I was able to just sit down and be like, let me relax? No, I had to wear a boot and walk around and do everything else as a mother, as an employee, and all the other good stuff. So
that's why moms are so set up for business ownership and in the workplace, right? Moms also make great employees and great executives, but also entrepreneurs, because we just get it done. You figure out how you're going to get it done. And when you don't, you still make it work, right? Like, even if you didn't get the perfect thing done in the perfect way, it still comes back to, how is this going to be a win? Because that's literally our jobs as moms, right? If we make a mistake with insulin, or if we make a mistake with a birthday, or we make a mistake with breakfast, or we peel our toddler's banana when he didn't want it peeled, or we talk to our teen in the wrong tone and they start screaming at you, you still come back and you make it a win. And I think that's so important. It comes back to that same kind of theme you're talking about, where you figure it out. You figure out how to make it work. Yes. You find the solution. You find the answers. And that, where you were saying you didn't experience full imposter syndrome, but we all have doubts, right? We all have mom guilt or personal guilt or business guilt. Or, did I do that the right way? Should I have done it that way? But then what you're talking about is this like intuition of knowing, okay, I was made for this and I'm going to figure it out. And I think that we all of moments of motherhood that we question, did I do the right thing? Did I make the right choice? But then there's this thing that pulls you back up where you're like, okay, I'm going to make it through. I don't need sleep tonight. I can do it one more night. I'm going to make it through this challenging conversation with my teenager. I'm going to be able to do it. I can do this and I have to, right? And I think to that point, it's just exactly what you're saying. If you have that feeling inside of you for whatever it is, it's not to be ignored. It's meant to be pursued. And then you find the resources and the people and the systems and the network and the confidence to then execute on it. But you don't ignore and push down that feeling. So I think that is so important. So for someone that has that feeling and they want to take action on it, I want to hear about now what you do with these women that are like, okay, I think I want to do this. I'm scared. You know, they're kind of that tiptoeing around it. And you say, here's how we're going to make it happen. Here's what we're going to do.
Yes. So now, like I said, it started off with wanting to help other women to get out of situations. Moms, like maybe if they wanted to leave their job. I will say a lot of the mistakes that I made in the beginning was paying for so many resources. I will say in the very, very beginning, read blogs, watch videos, learn whatever you can. There are so many communities, especially I have a community as well, but you're able to go into these communities, right? And they have the free option where you're able to learn so much. And then I feel like that's where you're also able to build. And that's where it is. It's a community. You cannot do this alone. You cannot.
That's exactly why we built the filing cabinet for Mama Has Goals, because Same thing. I went out, I had to find all these resources and I was like, why are they so messy? Why are they so unorganized? We want to make this clean, organized, and free. So That is definitely, I agree with you exact the same way. But once someone is ready to get that more specific action, you help them bottle it all up into a way that's like, here is your plan. So if someone were to come to you, tell me, what does that process look like? It, when they're like, okay, I'm ready to take action on that.
Yes. As you said, they're in a planning phase where, and for the planning phase, let me explain, that could mean that you literally was like, I think I could do this, but maybe. It's not like you have to actively have a plan. So the name of my business is Business Plans Meetings. And the reason why is because when I was trying to work on my business plan, it's so important to have one, but it's intimidating. It could be extremely intimidating because you think you need to have charts. I'm not good at financial. That's what people were saying. They're like, I'm not good at the financial aspect. I don't know how to do this. It's so boring. Let me tell you, mine has pink in it. It's beautiful. If you look at my site, I love bright colors. You make your business plan what you want it to be. The way it works, the process is that, so if someone comes and they're like, hey, Christina, I have an option where if they have some in-depth questions, they just want to hop on a call and they want to know, I have a strategic brainstorming where it's low cost just because I want to be able to hop on a call and answer any question you may have, any doubts, any fears. So the way it works is that it's not just a business plan, it's a business transition plan. So you're in this career, you eventually want to be able to transition out. So now my goal is to hopefully catch people before they just get to the point where they have to up and leave and can't take the job anymore. Yeah. I want to be able to help them go through the process to have a plan, business transition plan, to have, yes, your business plan, understand who you want to work with, how you want to help them, what's the strategy to get there, but also the financial, how much would you need to have saved, or if what those goals are for you, how are you going to pay your bills if you were to quit? And then go into a timeline of, when do you want to make this happen? Sometimes you know you have a good year left in your job. Like, I could probably do this for a year. Nothing else happens. Like, you can just deal with it. But it's to help you have a solid plan so that when you go out there and you're ready, you're profitable, you're able to sustain and be able to do what you want. So for me, my motivation and my why has always been I wanted to spend that quality time with my kids. I spend so much time in the workforce. The summers, I haven't been able to enjoy with them for, I don't think ever, because I worked the whole time. Even when they were babies, yeah. I had to put my son in daycare for 5 months. So I have always worked. So that has been like my biggest motivator is being able to travel with them because I love traveling. This story is so important to understand like where my motivation comes from. I was out to lunch with my daughter, we're having dinner, just hanging out. And he texts me, he goes, can you come pick me up from school? And I'm thinking something's wrong. And he goes, I just need a mental health day. To be able to go sign my kid out of school, to have a mental health day was so important. Yeah. And guess what? He felt so much better the next day. So back then I wasn't allowed to do that. I would have had to say, hey son, you just got to stick it out. It's okay. As my kids like probably in school, just so much anxiety. Yeah. So that's my biggest why.
Wow. And I think that's such a relatable and powerful moment for so many parents, because even now my kids go to school part time and, you know, they have mornings. They don't want to go to school. Today was actually one of those days. And being able to have the choice to be able to say, okay, is this a day where I'm going to just say, all right, stay home, or not just pushing them because you have to. I think that is so important. And I want to also just like send love to anyone that's in a season that you don't have that choice, because we've both been there. I know from both of our stories, I've been there, Christina's been there, where you don't have a choice. Yes. You do have to send your kid to school. Yes. They do have to tough it out. And that doesn't make you a bad mom. It's okay.
Not at all.
That happens. But what we want everyone to hear out of this conversation is when you've decided that you don't want that anymore, there are options, and you can pursue options, and you can have someone help you along the way. And so for anyone that's not familiar with like what a business plan is, and what I really love about what you do, Christina, is it's not just a here, I'm going to help you create your PDF document that you're going to just have printed, because it reminds me of your corporate like work handbook that no one ever reads. And you're just like, well, I have my business plan. I have my work handbook. It's like, no, this is absolutely a functional plan. This is a functional document for you to come back to and say, here's how I'm going to make this dream a reality. Here's how I'm going to transition. Yes. Here's when I can for my family, so it financially makes sense. Here's when we can make this work. So it's not just like a, hey, let's make pretty graphics. And it's no, let's create something official so that if you do want to go get funding or you do want to explain your business to someone or you do want to do that, then you have that. But this is for you. So you have an actual framework into how to actually make this a reality for your life. And I think that is so important. I have a couple final questions for you. And one of those being just like for the person that wants to understand, like, how official does your business have to be for this? I think that's a common question in the sense of like you were saying it could be someone that just has an idea, but whether it's like a side hustle, it's your Cricut like sticker building business, it's even like network marketing, or it's, you know, this big giant business dream that you maybe have and would need to really have a very formal plan going into, this applies to like every range of business and idea, right? Talk about like the smallest business and maybe a client that you've worked with that would not really realize that they would need this for like their life coaching business or their like self-development startup or any of those things that you're like, no, this helps for anything.
Yes. I actually recently worked with someone where they still work their full-time job. They actually wanted to do a relaunch. So they already had the business, their side hustle, but it was to a point where it wasn't making any profit and they didn't have a business plan or anything. They just were working in the business, but not like really working on. And when we hear that it's working in a business, it's like you're literally doing day-to-day stuff versus working on is where you're able to come up with these strategies, right? So that you can become profitable. And this person was in life coaching.
Yeah.
So she was into life coaching, but she wanted to be able to hone in to work with mamas, right? To really work with mamas. But it was not clear in her messaging at all, like who she helps, how she helps them. Because I will say is that myself, I was able to work with a coach that helped me to really refine who I'm helping with. Because if you don't, that's the one thing that was really difficult for myself.
One of my mentors, she has a saying that says, you can't read the prescription from the inside of the bottle. And I think that is so relatable to business and motherhood in life is sometimes when you're in it, you aren't going to see it the same way. So you have to get like an outside perspective. So you were able to do this for this woman and be able to help her get clear on who she was helping and what she was doing and how she was going to come out of this rebrand.
Absolutely. That's just one typical client. So it's a rebrand. So you have some people that may have already been in a side hustle, but it's not gone anywhere because they need to really, like you said, be able to communicate.
Why isn't
so
this
that
working?
Others understand and how helping them. Yes, it's frustrating, and especially when you're working that job, your mama, like, where do you find the time? So a lot of times, and I'm probably going to get a little off track, it's like the thing that makes, I think, my business where it's different is because with my background in counseling, I understand a lot of the thoughts that you may have. And that's so important to also include with your planning process, right? And your time management. Time management is a huge thing. We know as mamas, I get distracted, especially as a new grandma. Like, I just want to play with her.
I was
going to
say, now
day.
You have a whole new little dynamic in your world. She's living with you. But you bring up an important point. You know, my background's in marketing. And I often say, you know, mental health and psychology, they have so much to do with marketing. And so our messaging and how we deliver our business is really seeing like, where is our customer at? Where is the person that we're helping and supporting? Where are we at as a business owner? How are we coming across? So I think there is so much relation there. And I think having that plan is so helpful. I want to talk a little bit about this new transition in your life of being a grandma before we come to our final question. And that is, I'm curious how you've come back to your own business plan or your own foundations as this new blessing, this new addition variable has been thrown into your life where you're like, okay, I'm now a grandma and my grandbaby and my daughter is living with me and we have this other dynamic and this is going well, but it's a new dynamic. So how are you coming back to the core principles that you set up in your business plan and your strategy to stay clear on what it is that you're doing? How are you like making this a routine and a habit of this is who I am, this is my business, this is what we're focusing on?
I'm going to throw in another curve. It was a curveball because my daughter had a cryptic pregnancy. She didn't know she was pregnant until she was 33 weeks.
Wow.
She was set to leave to go back to Dorman for her second year at college a week later than what we found out. So this was a huge curveball, and this was an emotional time, especially as someone, and people look this up, you probably heard like how to, they didn't know they were pregnant. And it's so funny because now we're seeing these shows where someone could have found out when they had the baby, and that would have been traumatizing. We had at least 6 weeks.
One of my family members is a labor and delivery nurse, and her sister, who is one of her best friends, they're together multiple times a week. She had this happen to her, and she said, my cousin came out and she's like, look, I have heard people to come in and tell me this story. Like, how did you not know you were pregnant? And I have wondered as a labor and delivery nurse, like, how would you not know these things? She's like, this has now happened to my sister. And I was alongside of her for the entire journey, the entire pregnancy. And none of us had any idea. And so I think for anyone else that is listening, this is a real thing. This is a real thing.
It's so funny because my family was like, no way. She knew the whole time. I was like, listen, I was a young mom. I had my daughter when I was 18. I was 17 when I was pregnant. 18 is when I had her. And the stuff I went through was a lot. I know, and the relationship I built with my daughter was for her. We're so open. We talk about everything. And on top of it, I love how you said, and my cousin works also in labor and delivery as a nurse. And she was here because when she would work overnight, she would stay at our place because she was a travel nurse. So she was here and she literally was like, what in the world do you mean she's pregnant? When I tell you that baby is a miracle, she's super smart. She's 3 months now. Time goes by fast. She's so smart. She's doing things like 6 months old are doing, like holding her bottle, like doing a bunch of things, trying to roll over. So it's like a blessing. I love that you said a blessing because, of course, during that time, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm so panicked. I'm so scared. What is this going to do? Like you said, I don't think I realized how big of a shift it was going to be in the dynamics until after she was here. And I was like, oh, my God, I miss my daughter. I miss having one-on-one time. You know, she's 19 herself. So it's like during that time. And I also felt the guilt. Like you said, the mom guilt. I was like, oh my gosh, didn't I teach her like how to use protection, how to do this, how not to, because I didn't want her to go through what I went through. And then I was a single mom with her at that time. So I had the fear of like all of that. And somehow I still pushed through because I had to, because I was more worried about her getting postpartum depression because this is not what she prepared for. My daughter has never wanted kids. It's just not her. She doesn't do well with newborns. She don't know how to take it. So I had to go in and be that person and support her. But I also realized I get to enjoy it because I don't got to raise the baby. I don't have to raise her. I can help out. I can guide her, but I don't have to raise her. So yes, that dynamic brought me back to it. I had to come back to my roots of the business, right? So that's where it comes into. And you don't have, one thing I do want to say that's so important is that your business plan does not need to be 50 pages, does not need to be 20 pages. It could be the leanest business plan. It could be bullet points, because at the end of the day, and of course, as time goes on, you add to it. This isn't a document that you sit there, like you said, with the company menu, you put it together and never look at it again. No, this is a document you can print out and refer back to, because at the end of the day, it's going to have your mission. It's going to have your why. It's going to have the reason why you're doing this. And it's a reminder. So I pulled out my document and I had to remember that my goal has always been to leave a legacy. She motivates me so much. I love her to death. So it's like, I wanted to leave a legacy.
You know, what a blessing that you've been able to have this business, have this foundation, and be able to come back to that. Before our final question, I want to know, now that you do have this other variable and your business is up and going, what is a goal or something that you're currently really excited about?
It's so many things I'm excited about. Like I wake up and I'm just so happy, and I did not think this way. I thought I would just work until I retired, you know, work for someone else until I retire. So what makes me so excited, what gets me up, is Larry, being able to communicate with different women. Like, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm talking to women in my inbox. We're just like getting to know each other. So my big thing this year is connection, relationships, building them. I have friends in Ohio. I have friends like all over. I have a friend in Dubai now, and it excites me to be able to, of course, work with people from all over the world, but also to build friendships and build relationships. And I'm super excited because I have revamped all my offers to be really aligned with my people. So it's just really being able to be out there, to have the means, to have the opportunity to just serve people.
And it's such an amazing journey. Like, I know in my own business, I look back at the people I've met and the connections I've made, and I cannot imagine if I hadn't taken that leap, if I hadn't moved forward. So I think that is, you know, just such a pivotal point of what you're saying, is going back to that intuition and that confidence. Absolutely. And that knowing, like, if you have this feeling or this call on you and you're like, I don't know, what would it look like if I did this? You're always going to wonder. So you have to go pursue that. And I do want to be clear, you know, that's not entrepreneurship for everyone. It might be going back to school, like you said, or moving into a new career, but it could be business too. It could be even just like for your daughter. Absolutely. You know, she didn't want to be a mom and here she is, you know, exploring something different.
She's thriving.
And I think that it's just so important to be curious about all the different versions of us. Christina, where can everyone connect with you? You know, we're going to have you in the Mama Has Goals platform. They can connect with you there. But where do you want to send people to connect with you?
I actually have, it's two places because like I said, I'm on LinkedIn under Business Plans Made Easy. So Business Plans Made Easy. Just that's where you can find me. As well as I have a Facebook community that I just put together because like I said, it's so important to have community. And I love connection. I love the power of us when we come together. Like us moms, like kick butt.
Yeah.
So you can find me on Facebook under groups. It's called From Corporate to Entrepreneur Inner Circle.
Amazing. And we'll link that below too. And everyone can join that. And I know your son got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 11, and we're not going to be able to dive into that too much today for timing, but people can reach out to you and hear a little more about your journey, and they can come to you for support on their business plan. And we have your support within the Mama's Business Blueprint program as well. So many ways for them to tap in. Christina, it was such a pleasure talking to you, hearing more about your journey and story. I'm so excited for this next chapter of continuing as grandma. And how this has just allowed this beautiful life to flow together for you and your grandbaby and your son and everyone together. So thank you for your time today.
Sometimes the smallest act of love is all a mom needs to feel reinvigorated. If you can relate to that, I'd feel so supported by your 5-star rating and written review. Take a moment and let me know what you thought about this episode.